Good morning, everyone. It's very good to see you. So let's turn to the Bible. It's 1 John chapter 4. Page number is 1083 in Red Church Bible. It's page number 1083, 1 John chapter 4. So let's pray before we read his word. Father, thank you for giving us Jesus to suffer and die for our sinfulness and even rose up from death for our resurrection. We also thank you for giving us your word, pointing out Jesus and also his second coming. We therefore commit this time to your hand that you might preach to us and also convince us that you are living God who love us and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me read from verse 1 to the end of chapter 4 of 1 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So this elderly disciple gave us teaching, and it's like he was full of Jesus and Jesus only, and only through Jesus, he believed that we can exercise our faith. And can also say that he's full of love, not because of his own ability, but because he realized that God loved him first, that we can love others. So we can learn much about this letter. So we can divide this chapter 4, I think, into two parts. From verse 1 to 6, it speaks about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And also from verse 7 to 21, and it's quite evident that he speaks about the love of God. So we'll look through from verse first part, which is from verse 1 to 6. So it says, we should test the spirit whether they are of God. Because it says, many false prophets have gone out into the world. I'm sure you know that it's less than 100 years since Jesus was resurrected and also ascended to heaven, but they already found that Antichrist have gone around. Interesting is, they face the enemies from outside and also from within. And we sometimes find the enemy within can be more fatal than enemy outside. But they already found enemies within as well as enemies from outside. So it says that we should test the spirit because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And we quite know well that even if people claim that they are of God, we should test them and check them whether they genuinely are born again and work according to Holy Spirit. And if you go to John chapter 14, verse 30, the same John, but speaks about this different spirit. So it says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. So Jesus says that this ruler of this world is coming, and he says he has nothing in me. Means that though the enemies pretend to belong to God and imitate the works of God, as Jesus said, he has nothing in me, which means he does neither have anything common nor sharing with God. So at the end of the day, even if they claim that they do by the name of God or even imitate the works of God, there's nothing common with God, and they don't share anything with God. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they will eventually go out from us as they are not of us. I have worked for the church for several years, and as time goes, we eventually find whether we belong to God or we don't. Because we find that if people don't belong to God, they will reveal themselves as time goes because they are not of us. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So there is like sharp edge between people who belong to God and belong to the world even, We might not recognize quite well, but if you don't belong to God, you belong to the world, and at the end, we should reveal ourselves as we are. So we should make an effort to continue with God. And then verse 2 of chapter 4, it gives us like kind of a norm and key to discern whether we are of Christ. So it says in verse 2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So the key to discern is biblical identity of Jesus. Everyone claims that they are serving the same God, but if you just investigate a bit and find whether they really believe in Jesus as Bible says, that's the key to discern whether people are of us. I don't need to give you examples, but Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, Islam, and so on, even though they claim that they are serving the same God, as they are wrong in identity of Jesus, they are not of us. And even though they pretend that they belong to God and even imitate the works of God, as they are wrong in the identity of Jesus, they are not of us. So verse 3 says, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So false teacher is the one who confessed not Jesus according to the Bible. So whenever you want to find whether they are genuinely born again, you simply compare what they believe with the identity of Jesus according to the Bible. But verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We are living in postmodern society, which people claim that we should include everyone and we should recognize the difference in anyone. But it's quite interesting that they don't accept when we claim that Jesus is only one way to get saved. They simply can't bear this idea, even though they claim that we should recognize difference in everyone and try to undermine us and exclude us from the mainstream. But it says, as we are of God, we have overcome them. And it says, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. As I said before, we shouldn't undermine the power of our enemy. I have to say, our enemy is powerful, more powerful than us. But Christ in us has overcome our enemy and given us his victory that we can overcome our enemy. So the evil may be powerful, but the truth will prevail. That is hope we can hold on to, and that is hope we have to seek for in this world. And verse 5, it says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So as they have different spirit, they don't listen to what we have to say, but they do listen when this first prophet speaks to them. Whenever I go out for the evangelism in Boromut, I normally stand by betting shop. And here I am, who I believe having truth and genuine truth and saving truth, but I also have to say most of people don't care much about what we want to share. But this betting shop, they don't advertise a lot. They just open the door, and I find many people just come and go. And there is cash point by this betting shop, and I can see that people withdraw like 30, 50 people and bring them to this betting shop and just waste their money. And I also find they hardly take my leaflet when they go out from the betting shop. They seem to be quite angry. I don't know why. But that's how it goes. Can you imagine that we have genuine truth which can save anyone who confess their sins and believe in Jesus? But they don't care. But they really care much about this betting shop and believe that they can make fortune. But I know it might be like one in a million, but they hardly make fortune out of this betting, but still believe they can do something out of this betting shop. So in a way, yes, as it says, as they are of the world, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So John chapter 15, verse 19, it says, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." It's not good news. We don't want to be hated by any other. But as the Bible is true, please don't feel it strange even if you are hated by the world. Because at the end of the day, we have different spirit. We have the spirit of God. And we also have to make a choice whether we stand with the world or with God. And verse 6, it says, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So Bible says there are two spirits going on in this world. And if people have this spirit of truth, they will listen to genuine truth when we proclaim. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, so let's turn to together 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It's page number 1013. So it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So it says, The spiritual things can only be understood by the Spirit of God. So that's why we have to pray. And that's why we have to pray that we will be guided by the Spirit of God. And at the end of the day, salvation itself is not our effort only. Yes, we do our best to seek for His face, but at the end of the day, it's God who promised to give us the Spirit of God, open our eyes and heart, and soften our heart to listen to His voice and accept the gift He has given us through Jesus the Messiah. And it says, if you don't have this Spirit of God, this gift, many gifts, seem to be foolish to unsaved people. But as we have this Spirit of God, we can now discern everything and also are not judged by others as we have the mind of God. We sometimes feel we are weak and quite small in number, but at the end of the day, according to this Bible, we have Spirit of God. And it also says it is the mind of God. So we are not judged by others. And we have good reason to share this good news with other people. And verse 15, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So our blessing doesn't end here. It says, from now on, as we have the Spirit of truth, Spirit of God, God dwells in us. So the Bible calls us as temple because it's not because of what we are doing for Him or how we are, because God abides, God dwells in us. And verse 7 to 21 speaks about the love of God. So verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And if you go to chapter 3 of 1 John, we can see a bigger picture of what John really tried to say to us. So chapter 3, verse 10. Yes, so it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. So there are three principles we should follow according to John. The first one, we should believe in Jesus. And second one, we should exercise justice. And the third one, we should love each other. So it's important to be in balance. And we also should seek for these three principles John taught us to follow. And as I can say, it's nothing new. I'm sure you have heard many times as you come to the church, believe in Jesus, exercise of justice, and love for one another. It is our fundamental principles, but should seek for always. And that's what John tried to say. And verse 8, it says, God is love. It doesn't say God loves. In a way, It means far more than God loves when it says God is love. It implies that essential nature of God is love, as well as righteousness, and that accordingly, everything that he does is done in love and righteousness. I really like when it says God is God of love and righteous. We sometimes find that even people in the world, they seek for love. They want to get loved, but they simply can't find this love. If you just work on your business or for the company, or even just go out and meet families or friends or neighbors, at the end of the day, we cry out for genuine love. But we do have love from God, and it even says God is love itself. There is another possibility with God. If you see mythology of Greeks, they claim that they are God, but they are not love, they are not God of love. They jealous and they fight each other and they even kill each other. But if you have to believe in this kind of God, it can be quite chaotic. But our God, we believe in, claim that he is God of love. He is love itself. And important thing is in verse 9, it says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So how our God loves us, it says he was manifested of his character of love that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This incarnation, can you imagine that Jesus as God himself, but decided to lower down and also came under to the world to be a human being and even suffer and die on the cross to show us how God loved us. I'm sure Jesus went to the toilet, and felt hungry, and also quite intimidated by people and felt pain when he was on the earth. But that's how God showed us how he loved us and cared for us. And then verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So he says, we didn't love God first. God loved us and sent his Son to be ransom or atonement for our sins. Actually, this chapter 4 is the one when I read and decided to become a Christian, especially this part. We didn't love God first. It is God who chose to love us first and sent us his only begotten Son. I think it's very important. We sometimes believe we can do something for the Lord, but unless you get loved by this perfect love, you simply can't do anything. You simply can't exercise his love for other people. I have met many humanists, and I study philosophy at university, so I know a bit of like these humanistic ideas. And even from South Korea, where we used to be Buddhist, I used to study about Buddhism a bit, and I quite respect what they believe. They believe if you do your best within and have mercy upon each other, we can make the world better. And humanist ideas are quite similar, but I also have to say, it's not enough. As we are sinful, we simply can't exercise perfect love. At the end of the day, we need help from outside. We need to taste that genuine love, that perfect love, to exercise that love for each other. So, as it says, it's not us who loved God first, but it says that He loved us first and sent His Son to be our ransom and atonement for our sins. So, real love is to be seen only in God's love for us, in His sending His Son as the propitiation for our sin. And then, after this, John says in verse 11, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I'm sure we all want to do something good for our neighbors, our family or friend, but we simply can't do it unless you get loved first by God, unless you taste this genuine love, this perfect love by God. That's why, as He, in a way, knows better about us, He sent His only begotten Son to show us this genuine and perfect love. And after that, we can exercise this love for each other. And verse 12, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us." So our blessing doesn't end here. It just keeps going better and better. We know that His love is sufficient itself. But it says, His love has been perfected in us, which means as we begin to exercise His perfect love, God's love will be perfected through our exercise. So even though it is sufficient enough and good enough, He aimed to be perfect in us when we exercise His love. So love is the evidence of God's presence in us and of the fact that His love is perfected in us, which means it has attained its end and aim in us. So God's eternal purpose of His love for us is to show us what kind of love we should exercise. And when we actually do with each other His love, it will be perfected in us. And verse 13, it says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." As we said before, we have the Spirit of God, but chapter 5, verse 22, it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, and the first fruit is love. So unless you love each other, you have to examine your salvation again. And that natural fruit of Spirit of God is love. Yes, There are also other lists: joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But love is first. It's kind of like beginning. You begin to be able to love others without any condition, which God did for us. And that's a clear sign of the Spirit of God when we are born again. And our blessing doesn't end here even. And verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As we begin to exercise his love, it says, we will have boldness in the day of judgment. So it says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts our fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. As we don't rely upon who we are or what we do, we shouldn't have fear in us. At the end of the day, we totally rely upon what Jesus achieved on the cross. There's nothing we can add or delete. That's perfect itself. We simply just accept. We can't achieve our salvation ourselves and depend upon what God did with Jesus on the cross. Therefore, there shouldn't be any fear in love. If you still have this fear, you have to examine yourself, whether you still rely upon yourself, whether you still believe you can do something for the Lord. But as we confess that we simply can't do anything, the only thing we can do is to rely upon God. There's no fear in love, because this perfect love casts our fear. So please just kick out this fear from your heart. I sometimes play the football with my boys and they become stronger, so I have to move faster and kick better. And as we believe that the redemption and salvation of Jesus is perfect and complete, we don't need to fear, but just love and also love each other. So not because of who we are or what we do, but because of what Jesus achieved on the cross, we don't need to have fear, but just love. And verse 19 is kind of like stamp. So it says, we love him because he first loved us. And verse 21, it says, he who loves God must love his brother also. As John keeps repeating, I also have to repeat myself. Yes, Ab, we have to accept we simply can't do many big or amazing things, but we also can confess that we are the ones who have this genuine and eternal hope, which is only in Jesus. And people, they cry out for this love. Oh, if you just Google it, you'll simply find how many songs they sing for the love. But we do find this genuine and perfect love. And God encourages us to exercise the perfect love. And And it says, God also dwells in us, and we will have boldness in the day of judgment as we seek for and do this love for one another. Yep. We also believe Jesus will come back soon. So please do hope in Jesus and seek for his kingdom and also exercise his perfect love for each other until he comes back. Okay, so shall we pray? Father, we thank you for sending us your only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross to show us this perfect and complete love for us. And as you proclaim, we don't need to add anything or delete from this perfect love. And you also promise that you will dwell in us through this salvation. You can even say, you also even say that we will have boldness in the day of judgment through this perfect love. We therefore pray as we commit ourselves to your hand again, you help us exercise this perfect and genuine love for us, that the world might recognize that we have this source of love, this spring of everlasting water, that people might be tempted to come to you and also seek for your love for us. As we depart and face every day, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit and also help us taste your goodness, loving kindness, and this perfect love every moment, that we can also practice this love for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.